Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31. Begin our reading at verse 10, and our text is going to be the verses 27 through 31. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And now our text. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. One other verse from Proverbs, and that would be Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands. What a contrast, beloved. What a contrast in women. What a contrast at times in wives. What a contrast at times in mothers. The wise woman, the godly woman, and then the foolish woman, the woman of the world. This is the month when many of you are looking at graduating. Some of you may be going to school, on to school. Some of you perhaps starting full-time work. The field's wide open for you, Covenant Youth. Many different callings. Hopefully some of you young men are thinking of the calling of the ministry. As you heard in our prayer, we need pastors. Hopefully some of you are thinking of being a teacher. Our schools need teachers. But I'm going to talk about a different calling. Not one of work outside the home, but the work inside the home. If the Lord in His providence gives you a husband, ladies, and if the Lord gives you, ladies, children. You, Christian women, covenant mothers, have a calling that is more glorious than any other calling, more important and more rewarding. My theme is godly wife, mother, and homemaker. Notice with me the covenant mother's faith, the covenant mother's duty, and the covenant mother's praise. Verse 30, we read, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The woman that fears the Lord. Boys and girls, there, that word boy, fear, does not mean be afraid of the Lord, but it means they stand in awe of God and reverence of God, and they want to please their Father in heaven. They know that God to be their God, and they know that God to be the God of their children, and they know that God to be the God of their home. He created us, He redeems us, and He has made us His friends and servants. And so the godly mothers, in her faith, she acknowledges Him alone as being her God. As a Heidelberger puts it, what is your only comfort in life and death, that I am not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Fearing the Lord means not just merely having head knowledge, you know about Him, but rather heart knowledge. You love the Lord, and you stand ready to be His servant, like Mary really said after she had that glorious news that she's going to have a child, not by a man, but the Holy Spirit's going to work her. And she says, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. That's what our godly mothers, godly wives, godly homemakers are. Servants of the living God. That means our life consists of living for Him. All of life is shaped by that faith that she has. Her marriage, and also her being a mother, and also being a child of God in His house. All her work is done by her seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. So she fears the Lord. Now notice with me in verse 30 the contrast. Over against that godly mother and wife and homemaker, there is the woman who is all concerned about her outward looks. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. There's a contrast there. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. How many single and then married, sinful, foolish ladies there are that are consumed with themselves? What do I want? How do I look? So they'll spend hours and hours on their looks. Between their hair, their makeup, their clothing. Those women concerned only with their own happiness. Those are not good covenant mothers. The contrast is painted there because those temporary things are not enduring. Many pride themselves on their beauty, and they try to get favor by winning words or work that they can do, or their manners. External recommendations form no part of the portrait of this godly woman, does it? Not one verse talks about how she is putting herself forward. It's everything is for her husband and for her family. Why is the covenant mother not concerned with that? Well, grace and beauty flee with age, don't they? Sickness can sweep it away. Sorrow and care takes away the charms of a person. And even when it still is there, has little to do with happiness. So while the sermon is based really on noticing this gift that God has given to us and given to His church, I want to speak also now a moment to young men and then to husbands later on also. Young men. Some of you maybe have already selected a young lady. But as you look for your wife, let virtue, not beauty, be the primary thing that you seek. If I choose someone for her beauty, then I will not love her any longer than what the beauty lasts. And then farewell at once to both beauty and delight. But if I love her for her virtues, then through all the other sandy foundations might fall away, yet my happiness remains entire. What a godly choice you young men are placed before in your lives, aren't you? Who is going to be that help that stands by your side, an aid to you in your worship? Who is going to be the mother of your children? Is it the wise woman who buildeth her house, or is it the foolish woman who with her hands tears down the house, brings sadness and pain and hurt? The wise woman, the godly wife, mother, desire that God will be glorified in her duties, in her desire. The godly woman, the woman of faith, desires His kingdom in her own heart, in the hearts of her children and grandchildren, in the hearts of all God's elect. The godly woman of faith desires that His will be done. And she desires that will be done as then a wife and as a mother and as a homemaker. She has a desire for a godly seed. She knows how God came to Adam and Eve and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." That is the command that God has given after He created and given to Adam and Eve a sexual desire that in marriage they may have children. Yes, they have a desire for godly children like a Sarah had, or later on a Rachel had, or a Hannah, or yes, the Virgin Mary. The godly woman of faith has desires and aims and goals that arrive out of her faith. She does not see childbearing as a hindrance to her life. She doesn't simply endure childbirth, seeing it as a necessary evil. She doesn't view having children as a temporary waylaying of her own goals and ambitions. No, she recognizes as that is God's calling for her to be a godly wife and a godly mother and a godly homemaker. He gives her a husband. He gives her children. How antithetical that view is from the view of the world, where children are not wanted but prevented or even cut out of the mother's womb, where the number of children is severely limited because, not because the mother's health, but rather because that couple wants to get ahead with their life. One man said to me, they'd been married for 7 years, and they had their first child, and the man said, yeah, maybe one more, but I said, one more? Well, the Lord wants us to be happy. We can't be happy without a nice house and the art on our walls and vacations that we want to take. How selfish. How selfish of that couple. They didn't want to be tied down. They didn't want to see the economic downfall or hurt that there can be. Self-centered. The ungodly, the foolish mother who tears down her house asks, not what does God want, not what is good for my husband or what is good for my children. She says, what do I want? What's good for me? Those to whom God has given a godly wife, a godly mother, godly homemaker, what a glorious calling comes with that. Don't get me wrong, those of you who are single, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul says the single life is good. Family is important, but it's not the only thing in life, is it? Single life is not to be scoffed at. There are those that God in His providence does not give a husband or a wife. There are those young people that do not choose to get married because they can contain themselves. Single life is good. So as the Apostle Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, they don't have to worry about earthly things, how to feed the family, but they can give themselves in their single life much more to the care of the church. So single life is good. We may not make it sound like anyone that's not married, oh, they've completely missed the boat. God does not give everyone a wife or a husband, and God doesn't give every couple either children, does He? And our hearts go out to them, those ladies in the congregations who don't have any children, and there's Mother's Day again. Hurts. May there be comfort and encouragement. We are the family of God here. And yes, there are many sorrows in motherhood. There's physical toil and pain giving birth. There's a physical and psychological burden of rearing children day after day. According to Genesis 3, verse 16, that sorrow is great. The mother is really giving her life away for her husband and for her children. So while it is difficult, it is joyous. She fears the Lord. He makes her the joyful mother of children. He gives her grace to bear the burdens, to perform the labors, and she has Jesus Christ, the sympathetic high priest, that she can turn to and must turn to, not becoming bitter because of the many duties laid upon her. The covenant mother's faith colors all that she does, all that she seeks, all that she pursues. That brings me then to the second point, the covenant mother's duty. What a blessed calling. And her faith then shows itself in the text. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. On one of my visits, I said to a godly mother, "And do you work outside of the home?" And her husband said, "I'm glad you added that last part of it. Do you work outside of the home? Because godly mothers have much work to do in the home, don't they?" Let at one time the wife be sick, and the husband has to take care of the children for the week. He scratches his head, "Where do I begin? When is it ever done?" What a glorious calling. We read in 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Or again, Titus 2, verse 5, "To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Or again, as we read at the beginning of our service, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her husband's, with her hands." A calling, a duty. No, not merely to be a housekeeper. But think a moment. The calling to her husband. She is his helper. Who can find a virtuous woman? And we read how through her he is able to be seen at the gate as a man of greatness. 11 and 12, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." How the godly covenant mother is a godly wife. Giving herself, helping her husband. Not a doormat, but she's by his side all the way. The children, verse 15, "She riseth also while it's yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens." So there is her husband that she cares for. It is for her children she cares for. Think a moment. Think of your boys and girls, your mother's labors. Who goes out like a merchant and purchases the food and brings it home? Who is it that prepares your breakfast and your lunch and then your suppers? Who is it that buys your clothing, makes sure you have clean clothing? Who is it that cleans up the house, all the messes? Who is it that does the laundry? Who is it that drives you to school or drives you to those piano lessons or drives you to some sport event? There seems to be not enough hours in a day for the multitude work. And then she's still not done. She cares for her husband. She gives herself for her children. And then she sees others in the church family that also need her help, making a soup or a casserole for that person, or baking some goods and bringing them over, or bringing a word of cheer, or seeing a neighbor that is sick and caring for them. Yes, her goodness manifested in so many ways. And, according to the word of God, the world's looking. The world is looking. What we believe, what we preach, what we hear on Sundays, does it make any difference in our lives Monday, Tuesday through Saturday? Or are we just like everyone else out in the world, looking after ourselves? And that's why the Apostle Paul writes, both to Timothy and later on he writes to Timothy, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Or again, Paul writes to Titus, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The world is looking. The world is looking at how we live. The world is looking at our marriages, whether we are married for good or for bad, for health or for sickness, remaining together. The world is looking at how we're parenting. May the word of God not be blasphemed by our lives. The Lord cares for her as she is this servant to her husband, obedient, submissive, as she cares for her children day after day, as she reaches out to help others in the church family or the sick and afflicted in the neighborhood. What work? Busyness. But not only doing all those things, but also notice her mouth is busy. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Who is it, husbands? Who is it that is sitting during the middle of the night giving the child something to eat? Who is it that is with the child quieting them when they're crying? Who is it that has the little child on her knees day after day after day? Who is it that's doing most of the devotions in the home while you're gone at work? The godly wife and mother and homemaker is the one who opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. What beautiful words. The godly wife and mother is the one who has to discipline the children also and correct them when they're wrong, doing it in love. She cannot say, well, wait till your dad gets home. No. Punishment needs to come quickly after the deed and then followed up with kind words of forgiveness when the child says, I'm sorry. The godly woman gives attention to the means of grace as it comes. She's on her knees praying for her husband. She is on her knees praying for her children. And as those children grow older, and through those years of sometimes rebellion and independence, oh, the prayers of a godly mother. Opening up the Word of God, reading it for her own comfort and her own encouragement and her own strengthening. And then speaking, and having conduct that is also uplifting, encouraging. How the godly mother is needed by us and is blessed by God. And how does she do that? Because the law of love is in her own heart. She has been a disciple at the feet of Jesus Christ, and therefore she is instructed in what is really important in her life. She is guided for the words that she must speak to her children, and even the words that she has to speak to her husband, sometimes when he is angry or bitter. Covenant mothers, the law of God in her heart, the wisdom in her mouth, and on her tongue, the speech of kindness. Childbearer, nanny, teacher, administrator, chauffeur, nurse, housekeeper, benefactor. Not the bread of idleness. Perhaps you men come home working long hours and you think, oh, it sure be nice just to be at home like my wife is all the time. But stand in her role for a day. Then hopefully you'll appreciate what God has given you in your wife, in your mother, mothering your children, in the home. What self-denial, isn't it? What is the godly wife and mother thinking? Others. 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 Her patience. She carries out these callings day after day after day. And that duty flows then from the virtue that is in her, isn't it? Who can find a virtuous woman? Where Christ is dwelling in her heart, where the Spirit of Christ is guiding her and enabling her and strengthening her for her task. You see, this duty is really the fruit of what God is doing through her and for her. It is that fruit that proves that she is a godly wife and mother and homemaker. Anyone could say, I'm a Christian. Anyone could say, I love the Lord. But it's the fruit of our life. It's the choices that we make by God's grace, where we say no to idleness. But while it's still dark outside, she gets out of bed and she keeps on working and working even after the sun has long gone down. Faith of a mother that guides the duty of the mother. She loves the Lord, and therefore she loves her husband, and therefore she loves her children and her grandchildren. Notice with me, thirdly, then, we've looked at the faith, we've looked at the duty, the calling, the covenant mother's praise. That's important, isn't it? Because at times you can become so discouraged. The meal that you put several hours into making, gobbled down maybe in 5-10 minutes. Or perhaps you hear the children say, oh, do we have to eat that again? It can be discouraging. What do we read? She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. The godly wife and mother doesn't need the certificate on the wall praising her for her job in the office or in a factory or some other place. She doesn't need the bonus that some of the men get after working many years at a place. No, she's content to be known and loved in her own circle. She doesn't demand that appreciation. She won't get her picture on Newsweek or some other magazine. Her children arise and call her blessed. So boys and girls, I'm talking to you this morning. Did you this morning get up and say to your mom, "Thanks, Mom. You're a great mom. I love you"? Not just this morning, though. Not one day of the week. Do you, after a day, a whole long day, do you say, "Thanks, Mom, for making my lunch. Thanks, Mom, for buying me this outfit. Thanks, Mom, for the clean clothes that I have. And maybe even, thanks, Mom, for making my bed"? Her children arise up and call her blessed. Boys and girls, do you say, "Thank you, Mom, for correcting me, for your words of kindness and your words of encouragement"? Do you say, "Thank you, Mom, Dad, for your loving discipline"? Do you say, "Thank you, Mom, for your hard labor all day long"? Do you say, "Thank you to your mother for the godly example"? The Apostle Paul was able to say to Timothy, "You've been taught. You, in you has been instilled a faith by your godly mother and grandmother." Young people, respect mother. Obey your mothers, for that's pleasing in God's eyes. Submit to their will. Love her. Love her. We're not done yet, are we? No, we're not. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Okay, men, now it's your turn. Have you said to your wife this morning, "Thank you for being my wife. Thank you for our children. What a great job you have done in our home. You have built that home with your hands. You say to your wife, "Thanks for being that help that I so desperately need by my side." Do you say that to her not just on Mother's Day or on your anniversary, but is that thought in your mind and is it on your lips often? Now perhaps you can say, "My wife knows I love her. You know, she sees how I provide for her by working hard, etc., etc." Yes, your lives show it too. But our wives and our mothers need to hear those words also with their ear. Have you thanked God for your wife? And have you prayed for your wife in her work? In the morning, perhaps at breakfast, or in your private prayers, or at night in the prayer at the table, do you thank God for your wife, for the mother of your children, for your family, by name? What a gift. What a precious gift God has given. Have you encouraged her? Do you lift your hand also to help her? You know, there's more people that can run a vacuum cleaner than just the mother, or make the bed, or help prepare some of the food. Yes, God gave Adam a helper, meet for him. But as she helps her husband, may the husband also be quick to help her with the many, many tasks, day in, day out. In marriage counseling, when I talk to young men and women, and they don't have children yet, so maybe she's working a job as well as him, I say to the guy, "Now, Do you help your wife then when she gets home also, so that she doesn't have to try to do that work and then take all the responsibilities for the home? Husbands, praise her to her face and to the heavens, and hopefully to those that he works with. How many people know how much you think of your wife and the mother of your children? But again, we're still not done yet, are we? Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Her works praise her. The world observes. They see how our children behave themselves. They can see whether a house is well run or poorly run. But beloved, those last words, her works praise her in the gates, not only talk about the community that we live in, yes, there's those who are looking, but I take those words also for when she stands by heaven's gate. Then she will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy master." That is the wise woman who is building her house. It is not the foolish woman that tears down her house with her hands. That foolish mother will not hear those words of the Lord, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Our works. How wonderful to hear these words of appreciation and approbation. It is well, even though Mother's Day is not a church holiday, but let's take the things of the world. Where the world takes a day and says, "Thank you to mothers," how much more shouldn't godly men say to their wives every day, "I love you. You're mine. Thank you for your help." And how much shouldn't you boys and girls say to your mothers, "Thanks, Dad, Mom. Thanks for putting up with me. Thanks for putting up with me when I sometimes act like those rebellious Israelites in the wilderness, grumbling and complaining." Boys and girls, her works praise her. May our mouths, may our actions praise our godly wives, godly mothers, godly homemakers. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee. We thank thee for our lives, that we are called to live as thy friends and as thy servants. We're thankful, Father, for the homes that we have come from or the homes that we live in. We thank thee, Father, for godly parents. We thank thee for godly children. We thank thee that we may see thy covenant that runs through the generations. And we give thee all the credit. Continue then to give strength to our wives, to our mothers, to those who are building their homes. It's all for thy glory, Father. For it is by thy grace and through thy strength that we are able to do it. Bless then the Lord, bless, O Lord, then thy church, where these young children of ours that are raised in our homes are members and will soon take up places of responsibility. Yes, Lord, bless us. We pray and forgive all of our sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.